This article is brought to you by the best-selling books 8 Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Team Synergy Tips for Managers Leading Neurodivergent Team Members. How to build real cohesion when your team thinks differently. In short, after reading this guide, you will be able to apply practical team synergy tips that help you lead neurodivergent team members with clarity, respect, and genuine results. Learn each person's processing style before you redesign anything. Build predictable communication structures that include everyone. Assign work to cognitive strengths, not assumed norms. Definition: team synergy tips are practical strategies managers use to help a group of people produce results together that no individual could produce alone. In the context of neurodivergent team members, these tips focus on adjusting structure, communication, and task design to unlock the full range of cognitive strengths present in the team. I watched a capable manager lose her best analyst over 6 months. She did not mean to push him out. She simply ran her team the way she had always run a team: open plan collaboration, verbal briefings, and last-minute agenda changes. Her analyst had ADHD and dyslexia. Every meeting format, every ambiguous deadline, every surprise pivot cost him twice the energy it cost anyone else. The team's cohesion suffered. His contribution dried up. He eventually left. The real problem was not her intentions. It was the absence of team synergy tips built for the full range of how people actually think. Most managers never received a framework for this. They default to the style that worked for them personally, and that style excludes more people than they realize. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for building team synergy that works when cognitive diversity is part of the picture, and you can begin applying it immediately. If you want to understand how psychological safety connects to this work, what is psychological safety, and how it drives team synergy is a strong companion read. Why building team synergy with neurodivergent members is harder than it looks. Knowing that you should be inclusive, and actually knowing how to run a team that includes neurodivergent thinkers are two entirely different things. The gap between good intentions and working practice is where most managers quietly struggle. The default formats exclude without warning: verbal-only briefings, open plan noise, and rapid back and forth in meetings all disadvantage certain cognitive styles. Most neurodivergent team members will not tell you this. They will simply underperform or disengage, and you will not know why. Neurodivergence is not one thing. ADHD, autism spectrum conditions, dyslexia, dyspraxia, and sensory processing differences all create distinct working preferences. A solution that helps one person may actively hinder another. There is no single adjustment that works for everyone. Disclosure is complicated. Many team members will not tell you they are neurodivergent. Fear of judgment, past experience of being dismissed, or simply not having a formal diagnosis all contribute. You often need to build inclusive structures before you know who needs them. Task switching and uncertainty are costly. Last-minute changes, ambiguous instructions, and unclear priorities drain executive function fast. For neurodivergent team members, this is not a minor inconvenience. It can make the difference between a strong contribution and a written-off day. Feedback rarely lands the way you intend. Vague or indirect feedback is difficult for many people to act on. For someone who processes language literally, just be more visible in meetings is not actionable. It is confusing. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, your own assumptions about normal. Before you change anything for your team, examine how you currently run meetings, set deadlines, and give feedback. Ask yourself honestly, was this designed for one cognitive style? Most managers discover the answer is yes. Knowing this is not a criticism. It is the starting point. Number two, a private conversation with each team member. You do not need a formal disclosure process. You need a genuine one-to-one conversation where you ask each person how they work best, what conditions help them think clearly, and what gets in their way. Frame it as a working preferences conversation, not a medical questionnaire. This applies to every team member, neurodivergent or not. Number three, commitment to structure over spontaneity. The adjustments that help neurodivergent team members most, such as written agendas, clear briefs, and predictable check-ins, cost you almost nothing and benefit the whole team. You need to commit to maintaining these structures even when things are busy, because that is precisely when people need them most. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Map each person's cognitive strengths and working preferences. This step is the ground beneath everything else you build. Without it, you're guessing. Most managers assume they know how their team members work best. They are usually wrong. They observe surface behavior, such as who speaks up in meetings or who finishes tasks first, and mistake that for a full picture. What they miss is the internal cost of certain formats and the hidden strengths that never get the right conditions to surface. Schedule a 30-minute one-to-one with each team member specifically about working preferences, separate from any performance conversation. Ask directly, what conditions help you do your best thinking, and what kinds of tasks or formats tend to slow you down? Take written notes and keep them somewhere you can reference when planning projects or meetings. Ask, is there anything about how we currently work as a team that makes things harder for you? After each conversation, identify one immediate adjustment you can make for that person. Here is a script that works. Say it plainly. I'm trying to understand how everyone on this team works best. Not just what they produce, but how they think and what helps them. Can you walk me through a recent week that felt productive for you, and one that felt like you were pushing through mud? Most people, neurodivergent or not, will tell you a great deal in response to that question. The ones who say I don't know often need the question asked a different way. What would need to change about how we work for you to feel like you were playing to your strengths? After this step, you will have a real map of your team. Not the map you assumed you had, the actual one. Step 2. Build predictable communication structures. Unpredictability is the enemy of cognitive safety, and cognitive safety is what makes team synergy possible. When team members cannot predict how information will reach them, how much time they will have to prepare, or what a meeting will demand of them, they spend energy managing uncertainty instead of contributing. For neurodivergent team members, this is compounded significantly. Structure is not a constraint on creativity. It is the ground that creativity grows from. Share a written agenda for every meeting, minimum 24 hours in advance. Not bullet points. Actual questions to be addressed and decisions to be made. Follow every verbal briefing with a written summary, even just 3 sentences, covering what was decided, who is responsible, and by when. Establish a single channel for each type of communication. Urgent requests go here. Project updates go there. Do not mix them. Set a consistent meeting rhythm and stick to it. Predictable timing removes the low-level anxiety of not knowing when the next demand is coming. Understanding the role that emotional intelligence plays in team synergy will help you read when these structures are working and when a team member is quietly struggling despite them. Once your communication structures are consistent, you will notice something shift. People begin to arrive at conversations already prepared. Contribution goes up. The reactive scramble that passes for collaboration in most teams starts to quiet down. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Assign work to cognitive strengths, not assumed norms. This step is where real team synergy begins to take shape. It is also where most managers leave the most value on the table. The default approach is to assign tasks based on role title, availability, or rotation that produces adequate results. Assigning tasks based on genuine cognitive strengths produces results that surprise you. A team member with ADHD may have exceptional capacity for rapid ideation, pattern recognition, and crisis response. An autistic team member may bring rigorous attention to accuracy, consistency, and systemic thinking. Dyslexic thinkers are frequently outstanding at big picture reasoning and spatial problem solving. None of these strengths get deployed if you default to who is available. Review your current project and task list. Note which tasks require deep focus, which require rapid response, which require precision, and which require creative thinking. Match each task type to the team member whose cognitive style aligns most naturally with it. Where a task requires a style that does not match anyone's strength, pair people deliberately so their strengths are complementary, not competing. Give people the chance to flag tasks they find genuinely draining, without penalty. Build in a brief post-project review. Did the task assignments work, or did you learn something that changes the map? Here is an example. You have a project that requires building a detailed compliance document and also developing a pitch for a new client. Your artistic team member has told you she finds precision work energizing and open-ended brainstorming exhausting. Your team member with ADHD has told you the reverse. Stop defaulting to whoever is least busy. Assign the compliance work to her. Put him on the pitch. Then watch what happens to the quality of both. When people work in alignment with how they think, the whole team's output rises. That is not a theory. That is what I have watched happen over and over. Step 4. Redesign your feedback practice. Most feedback conversations are designed for one cognitive style, and it is not the style of every person in the room. Indirect feedback, feedback delivered in front of others, and feedback that is heavy on tone but light on specifics all create confusion and distress for many neurodivergent team members. They are not being difficult when they do not respond as you expected. The format failed them, not the other way around. How you give feedback directly affects team synergy, and the stakes are higher when cognitive diversity is in the mix. Always give substantive feedback in writing as well as verbally. This is not bureaucracy. It gives people time to process before they are expected to respond. Be specific and direct. Replace your contributions in meetings could be stronger within last Tuesday's meeting. You had the data on the pricing question, but did not offer it. I want you to offer it next time. Give feedback in private unless the recognition is genuinely positive and you have confirmed that person is comfortable with public acknowledgement. Allow response time. I would like to hear your thoughts on this by end of tomorrow. Is fairer than expecting an immediate verbal reply. Separate developmental feedback from performance assessment. Do not deliver both in the same conversation. You can also find that role clarity underpins how feedback lands, because without clear expectations, feedback about performance has no reference point. Step 5. Build psychological safety into the team's daily habits. Team synergy does not survive long without psychological safety beneath it. This is doubly true for neurodivergent team members who have often spent years masking, compensating, or simply keeping their heads down to avoid standing out. Psychological safety is not a culture statement. It is a set of daily habits that either build trust or erode it. Every time you respond well to a mistake, you build it. Every time you dismiss a concern, you chip it away. For neurodivergent team members, the stakes are higher because the cost of getting it wrong is not just discomfort. It is full withdrawal of contribution. When a team member raises a concern, respond with curiosity before judgment. Say, "Tell me more about that," before you offer your view. When a mistake happens, address it as a system or process problem first. Ask what would need to be different for this not to happen again. Before you ask who was responsible, acknowledge contribution specifically and publicly when someone has worked outside their natural comfort zone to deliver something. Make it normal to say, "I need more time to think about this," in meetings. Model it yourself. Review your team norms together. What behaviours are expected? What is safe to say? And how disagreement gets handled. Make these explicit rather than assumed. Here is a moment I remember from my own work. A team member told me after a meeting that he had known the answer to a question I was struggling with, but had stayed silent because he did not trust that interrupting me would be well received. That answer cost us a week. I had built a team that knew the right thing but felt unsafe saying it. I did not make that mistake again. For a deeper look at how safety and cohesion interact, how psychological safety enables honest communication and sustained team synergy covers the mechanics in useful detail. Step 6. Create working agreements that reflect cognitive diversity. A working agreement is a set of explicit commitments the team makes about how they will communicate, collaborate, and handle conflict. Most teams either never create one or create one so generic it means nothing. A working agreement built with cognitive diversity in mind is specific, practical, and co-created. It is not a policy handed down. It is a document the team builds together, which means every person on the team has contributed something of themselves to it. Run a structured session where you ask each team member to name one thing that helps them work well with others and one thing that gets in their way. Gather these inputs and draft a shared agreement. Circulate the draft in writing before any discussion meeting, giving processing time. Include specific commitments, meeting agendas shared 24 hours ahead, written summaries within 2 hours of any meeting. No last-minute task reassignments without a conversation first. Review the agreement every quarter. What is working? What needs to change? What did we forget to include? When the whole team sees its own needs reflected in the shared document, trust in each other grows. That trust is the soil that team synergy grows from. Understanding how personality differences affect cohesion can help you facilitate the session more effectively. Step 7. Track cohesion and adjust continuously. Most managers assume they will notice if team synergy is breaking down. In my experience, they are usually the last to see it. Team cohesion is not a destination. It is a living thing that needs reading. It shifts when workloads change, when a team member hits a difficult stretch, or when a communication structure quietly stops being maintained. You need a light, consistent practice of checking what is actually happening beneath the surface. Run a brief, anonymous pulse check every 2 weeks. 3 questions maximum. How well are we collaborating? Is anything getting in your way? What is one thing we could do better? Review task completion patterns. If one team member is consistently late or consistently delivering below their usual standard, ask what has changed in their working conditions before you address performance. In your one-to-ones, make one standing question. Is there anything about how we are working together right now that is making things harder for you? Track which team members are contributing in meetings and which are consistently silent. Silence is data. Use what you learn. If you're collecting feedback and not acting on it, you will collect less of it next time. Watching how different personalities and working styles interact also matters here. Balancing introverts and extroverts within team synergy gives you a useful framework for reading those dynamics accurately. Adapting this process for remote and hybrid neurodivergent teams. Remote work removes some barriers for neurodivergent team members and creates new ones. The absence of sensory overload in an open plan office is a genuine relief for many people, but the loss of informal cues, casual check-ins, and ambient team rhythm creates its own challenges for cohesion. Asynchronous communication becomes essential. In a remote setting, the working agreement needs to spell out clearly which communications require a same-day response and which do not. Without this, every message carries implicit urgency, and that is exhausting. Build in asynchronous options as a default, not an afterthought. Video calls need more structure, not less. The cognitive load of video calls, including managing your own image, reading reduced social cues, and tracking multiple speakers, is higher than most managers realize. Keep calls shorter, share clear agendas in advance, and always follow up in writing. Give team members the option to contribute by written message during or after the call rather than requiring verbal participation. One-to-ones carry more weight remotely. In the office, you pick up fragments of how someone is doing throughout the week. Remotely, you have only the meetings you schedule. Make your one-to-ones more frequent and treat them as a genuine working conversation, not a status update. This is where you will catch problems early enough to fix them. Check your written communication clarity. Remote teams run on text. Ambiguous messages cause disproportionate confusion for many neurodivergent team members. Read your own messages before you send them. Would someone understand exactly what you need, by when, and why? The core process holds in any setting. Only the execution changes. Common mistakes that undermine team synergy with neurodivergent members. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: treating neurodivergent team members as a special case to accommodate rather than a coveted resource to deploy. Why it happens: most inclusion training focuses on compliance and accommodation, not on strength-based deployment. What to do instead? Shift your frame. Ask not what does this person need to cope, but what does this person's way of thinking make them exceptional at? The mistake: relying on verbal communication alone in meetings and briefings. Why it happens: it is faster and feels more natural. Managers often underestimate how much of their team is not retaining verbal-only information. What to do instead? Make written follow-up non-negotiable after every substantive conversation or meeting. The mistake: interpreting quiet or stillness in meetings as disengagement or lack of contribution. Why it happens: extroverted communication styles are treated as the standard. Speaking up quickly reads as engaged. Thinking before speaking reads as passive. What to do instead? Build in structured reflection time, written contribution options, and explicit invitations before assuming disengagement. The mistake: giving feedback that is indirect, tone-heavy, or delivered in the moment without preparation time. Why it happens: managers are often uncomfortable with direct feedback and soften it in ways that make it unreadable. What to do instead? Be specific, be written, and give processing time. Direct kindness lands better than gentle vagueness every time. The mistake: building a working agreement without neurodivergent team members' input, then wondering why it does not stick. Why it happens. Managers design systems for the team rather than with the team. What to do instead? Co-create the agreement. The process of making it together is part of what makes it real. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each cycle. I have had a work and preferences conversation with every team member individually. I share written meeting agendas at least 24 hours in advance. I follow every verbal briefing with a written summary of decisions, owners, and deadlines. I have matched task assignments to cognitive strengths, not just availability. I deliver substantive feedback in writing as well as verbally. I give team members processing time before expecting a response to feedback. I have co-created a working agreement that reflects the full team's input. I run a brief pulse check at least every 2 weeks. I treat consistent silence in meetings as data, and I follow up in private. I review task assignments and working structures at least quarterly. I model the behaviours I ask for, including saying I need time to think about this. I have checked my remote or hybrid communication for clarity and predictability. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a working process for building team synergy with neurodivergent team members, one built on real structure, honest conversation, and the decision to deploy cognitive diversity as a strength rather than manage it as a challenge. Start by mapping each person's cognitive strengths and working preferences before you change anything else. Build predictable communication structures, written agendas, written follow-ups, consistent channels. Assign work to strengths, not defaults, and review those assignments regularly. Redesign your feedback practice to be specific, written, and given with processing time. Build psychological safety through daily habits, not culture statements. Co-create a working agreement that reflects everyone's input and review it quarterly. Track cohesion continuously. Do not wait until something breaks to ask what is happening beneath the surface. For your next steps, I would suggest reading The Role of Emotional Intelligence in Team Synergy, which will help you read the signals your team is sending before they become problems. If you want to understand the underlying trust conditions that make all of this possible, how psychological safety enables honest communication and sustains team synergy is the place to go next. Building team synergy when your team thinks differently is not harder than building it any other way. It is just more honest. Frequently asked questions. What are team synergy tips for neurodivergent employees? Team synergy tips for neurodivergent employees start with understanding how each person processes information best. Give clear written briefs, allow processing time before meetings, and assign tasks that align with individual cognitive strengths. Consistency in structure and communication reduces friction and builds genuine collective momentum. How do you build team synergy with neurodivergent team members? Building team synergy with neurodivergent team members means replacing assumptions with direct conversations about working preferences. Set clear role expectations, create predictable communication patterns, and build unstructured check-ins. When each person knows what is expected and how to contribute, the whole team moves with more coherence and less friction. Why is team synergy harder when managing neurodivergent people? Team synergy is harder because standard communication formats often exclude neurodivergent thinkers without anyone realizing it. Verbal-only briefings, last-minute agenda changes, and open-plan noise can all block contribution before it starts. Once you adjust the structure, neurodivergent team members frequently become the strongest contributors to collective output. What team synergy tips work best for remote neurodivergent teams? For remote neurodivergent teams, the best team synergy tips involve building clear asynchronous communication habits. Share agendas at least 24 hours before meetings. Use written summaries after every call, and check in individually rather than relying on group channels. Predictability and documentation replace the casual cues that an office environment provides. How does role clarity improve team synergy for neurodivergent members? Role clarity removes the ambiguity that causes the most distress for many neurodivergent team members. When responsibilities, decision-making authority, and communication expectations are explicit and written, each person can contribute confidently. This lifts individual performance and, over time, strengthens the collective rhythm that genuine team synergy depends on. What communication mistakes reduce team synergy with neurodivergent employees? The most common mistakes include assuming everyone processes verbal instructions equally, failing to share agendas in advance, and giving vague feedback. These habits disadvantage neurodivergent team members specifically, reducing their ability to contribute fully. Fixing the communication structure rather than expecting people to adapt to it is what restores team synergy. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.